I love hearing all the alleluias in our service today. We're getting very close to Lent, where we won't be saying alleluia until Easter morning. So get those alleluias in while we can, right? Whenever I was in about sixth grade, all the guys wore Aeropostale t-shirts and black gym shorts. That was the look. Okay, I don't know if that's still the look right now. But everybody was wearing Aeropostale t-shirts and black gym shorts. So, of course, I really wanted an Aeropostale shirt. So I remember going to the mall with my family. I remember walking into that Aeropostale store, really dimly lit, right? I don't know if you've ever been in an Aeropostale store before. It smells like a cologne bomb went off. And the advertising is really intense and dramatic. But I got my shirt. I remember I was so pumped to wear it to school the next week and days and weeks after that. Wore that shirt all the time. All the time. Because that's what everybody else was wearing. And it's funny, I don't ever remember actually liking the shirt. I don't think I really liked the way it looked. I just wore it. And I think that's one really small example of it, how it's so true that middle school, you know, sixth grade or so, is around the time when we as humans, or at least in this culture, we start to ask the identity questions, right? And it starts with small questions. What am I going to wear, right? What am I going to wear? How am I going to style my hair? That sort of stuff. And as we grow older, we start asking bigger and bigger identity questions. What are my interests? What are my hobbies going to be? Am I going to be in sports? And what sport? Am I going to be in music and band? Or, you know, what kind of music am I going to be into? Who am I going to hang out with? Who are my friends going to be? And as we get older and older, we ask bigger and bigger identity questions. Am I going to go to school? Am I going to go to work? What do I want to do for work? What do I want to do with my life, right? Am I going to get married, have kids? All these big, big identity questions. And I think everybody seems to be trying to answer the big identity questions. And I think they can be kind of boiled down to two main questions. And there might be other ways of framing this, but for today, I think it's helpful. The identity kind of comes down to these questions. Who are you, and why are you? What makes you you, and why are you here? What's your purpose in life, right? Everybody seems to be trying to answer these big identity questions. Now, in that really short reading from Matthew, we heard a little bit of the Sermon on the Mount. And in that short reading, Jesus answers these two questions for us. Who are you and why are you? And he does it kind of an interesting way. He presents us two impossible scenarios. Okay? One of those scenarios has to do with light. Jesus says, a city that's all lit up on a hill, can't be invisible. Okay? That's just not how light works. That's impossible. I should know. I made light. And I made light with particular qualities and characteristics. And light isn't invisible. Light just is what light is. Can't be anything else. So that's the first impossible scenario, okay? Invisible light. The other impossible scenario is salt that isn't salty. Raise your hand if you've ever had salt that isn't salty. Anybody? No? Okay. If somebody's hand did go up, I would say you probably just were eating salt. Because God made salt with particular qualities and characteristics. And salt can't be anything other than what it is. It's salty. So Jesus is using these two impossible scenarios to answer some of the biggest identity questions for us. And I think they're answered fairly simply. Jesus tells us who we are and why we are. Who are you? Much like salt and much like light and everything else in this universe, you are God's creation. You are made by God. That might sound really obvious at first, but that is so important, you guys, okay? You have a creator. You're not here at random. You're not here by chance. You're here because someone designed you and made you. And why are you here? Well, much like salt and like light, you are here made with particular qualities and characteristics, and you are here for God's purpose. You are God's creation, and you are here because of God's purposes. Okay? And that might sound like a really broad way of saying it. And that's fair, because a lot of things could fit under that category. But realize what we're saying here, okay? We are claiming that our identity and who we are and why we are is all determined by God. God answers those questions for us. God answers those questions that everybody seems to be trying to answer for themselves. And it's interesting to think about these questions whenever we consider them in the life of Jesus. Think about Jesus for a minute. Fully God and fully man. Having the mind of God, knowing all things. Jesus, unlike all of us, never had to wrestle with the identity questions. Jesus knew who he is and why he is. He knows he's the Son of God. There in the beginning, before all things, he's the Word made flesh. Nothing was made other than what was made through him, right? He knows who he is, and he knows why he was sent here to the world, to be the Savior of the world, to atone for the sins of the world. Jesus knew the answer to those questions. But Satan, very early on in Jesus' ministry, the devil tries to get Jesus to abandon who he is. You guys remember just a couple weeks ago we talked about Jesus' baptism, right? He's baptized by John the Baptist. He receives the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit immediately leads Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And in the desert, the devil tries to tempt Jesus to abandon who he is. Yeah, I know you came to be the Savior of the world, atone for the sins of all the world, but you know, Jesus, you could be anything you want to be. You could rule the whole world with no care. That would probably be way more fun and way easier than being the Savior of the world. But Jesus, of course, he resists the devil's temptation because Jesus never tries to be anything but what he is. And that's really good news for us. And this would continue. Throughout his ministry, Jesus would be surrounded by people, and he would run into people who thought he was crazy, who hated him. Even his own family members thought he was wild for some of the things he was teaching and the things he was claiming about himself. But even if they didn't get it, even if they hated him for it, Jesus never tried to be anything other than who he is. Even in his darkest, lowest moment, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus knows what lies ahead of him. He knows that the cross is coming, right? He knows he's about to do what he was sent here to do. And he talks to his Father and he says, God, if there's any other way to do this? Any other way to save the world? Let's figure that out. But not what I want, not what I choose, Father, not what I will, but what you will. Let that be done. Jesus never tries to be anything other than who he is. And he is your Savior. Amen? He did go to the cross. He did suffer. He did rise from the grave. He did atone for the sins of the world. And now, he answers these questions for you. He gives you your identity and your purpose. That's kind of cool. But the devil does to us what the devil tried to do to Jesus. The devil's going to try to get us to abandon who God made us, tempting us to determine our purposes and our identity for ourselves, abandoning what God has called us to be and called us to do. For example, somewhere in the world this week, there's going to be a middle schooler. Let's call her name Sarah, okay? Sarah is going to be at lunch this week. And she's going to be with her friends. They're going to be hanging out, having a good time. And one of her friends is going to mention the new kid in class. And they're going to go around the table just picking this kid apart, talking about the way he looks, talking about the way he acts, talking about his family, talking about the clothes he wears. And Sarah's going to be in that position where she either is who God calls her to be and loves this kid, or she abandons who God called her to be and gives in to the devil's temptation. It sounds like a dramatic way of putting it. At some point this week, there's going to be someone, well, let's call his name Jim. Jim is going to be in line at the DMV. And I have to go to the DMV this week, so maybe I'm just talking to myself. But Jim's going to be in line at the DMV this week. Let's say Jim is more of an introverted guy, not super chatty, not super outgoing. But he's going to get in some conversation in line at the DMV. Classic situation, right? And while he's talking to this other guy, who he's really chatty. This guy's really getting into it. And Jim's just kind of following along. Jim's going to notice this moment in the conversation where he could talk about Jesus. He's going to notice this perfect moment where he could say something about his faith or somehow invite Jesus into the conversation some way. But right as he's getting the courage to say something, the devil's going to say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 Jim. Jim, I don't think you're quite smart enough to have this conversation here yet. Jim, I don't think you're really quite likable enough to have a conversation right here with this guy. I don't think you're quite attractive enough or funny enough, or I don't think you can really handle yourself in this situation. Jim, maybe if you were like some of your other friends who are more outgoing, or maybe they're more chatty, maybe you could handle yourself. But no, not Jim. God can't use you here, Jim." This past week, and this is a real story now, okay? We're entering into reality. This past week, me and Pastor Matt, we went to our circuit meeting, which is a great thing that we get to do every month. We meet with other pastors, and we worship together, we pray together, all these things. And at every circuit meeting, we have a guest speaker. And One of our guest speakers was a woman named Allison. And I want to tell you a little bit about Allison. She grew up in Virginia. And when she graduated high school, she took a gap year before going to college. She went to Amman, Jordan for her gap year. I don't know exactly why, what all the circumstances were, but she went to Jordan, this Middle Eastern country, where it's illegal to practice Christianity. It's illegal to convert to Christianity there. It's a 100% Muslim country. This freshly graduated high schooler goes there for a year. And in her year there, when her time's up, God makes it pretty clear that she should stay there for a little while. That she should learn the language, maybe get more familiar with the culture, that sort of thing. So, she does. Now, Allison just moved back to the United States this past year. After being in Jordan for 11 years. Okay, so she went there for a one-year gap year, stayed for 11 years. And in that 11-year time, she started a group that grew to be 7,000 Muslim young women. Okay, 7,000 Muslim young women. And 3,000 of them, at some point, had a conversation with her about Jesus, where she was able to share Jesus with them. Pretty cool. One of those Muslim women was with Allison on Thursday. She had just come back to the, she had just moved to the United States for the first time. And she shared with us her testimony. And she was really excited to tell us that just in November of 2025, she was baptized in a bathtub. She thought that was really cool. She was baptized in a bathtub into the Christian faith. Now, what had Allison been doing those 11 years? What had she been up to? Had she planted some really successful kind of underground incognito church or something? No. Remember, she moved there right out of high school. No theological training. Did she start some successful business that kind of turned into a ministry of some kind? No. She's not really a businesswoman, I would say. Allison started a swim club. And you know why? Because Allison likes to swim. And she noticed very quickly that the Muslim women in that culture, once they hit about the age of 13, were not able to participate in group sports. There wasn't a lot of opportunity for them to have community with each other. So she starts a swim club. And that swim club grows to 7,000 young Muslim women. Thousands of them interacting with Allison, hearing about her faith in Jesus. Allison is not some big preacher. She's not some profound theological speaker. She just got to know these women and would take them out to coffee and would go to their house. And I think that's such a wild, beautiful example of God using someone he made with particular qualities and characteristics to spread a little bit of salt in Jordan. And now Allison is here in Chicago, getting ready to do the same thing here. God made you for his purposes. And he made you with particular qualities, strengths, weaknesses, limits. And he's called you not to be anybody else, but to be who he made you, that he might use you to spread a little salt wherever you're at. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bring to you the things that we think are weaknesses in ourselves, and we ask you to use them for good. We bring you the things about ourselves that maybe we don't like, that we're unsure about, and we offer them to you, that you might use them to spread your message, to spread your love. Lord, we offer all of ourselves to you. And we know that you have the power to use us, that others might come to know the saving love of your Son, Jesus. Use us as you see fit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.